Hello everyone, welcome back to Lights, Camera, Conversation. I'm your host, Lottie Wiltshaw, and this week I'm joined by a very special client. We've got Graham Scott from the LDC. Graham, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for inviting me, Lottie.
Yeah, welcome.
A very different experience.
Excellent. I know. What do you think of our setup? Do you like it?
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been here a few times, I think, now, since you first... took up the offices. It's excellent. It's always feel more than welcome here from the team. That's always been the case. So long may that continue. It's great.
Great.
Great partnership.
Yeah. Well, I'm delighted to hear. I mean, obviously, I was thinking back to when we first met, and it was actually referral. It was Rebecca Firth over at Ardar introduced us, didn't she?
She did. Yes, Rebecca. And I suppose from my personal point of view and the LDC, I mean, we've supported the Ardar Glass business now for nearly 30 years.
Wow, that's a long time.
In fact, when I first started to support them, they were called Rockware Glass.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they became Ardar Glass, and obviously now much part of a much larger global business. So I'm delighted at a professional level that I'm still supporting them, really. It's been a great partnership.
Yeah, and it's nice because they're mutual clients, aren't they? They're sort of, they're glass manufacturers. So, you know, we support them with video content. Obviously, you support them with kind of learning and professional development.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah.
So in terms of that then, tell us a little bit about the LDC and what's your kind of highlights, I guess, for this year? Where are you wanting to go with the business?
Yeah, so I suppose the starting point is just as a kind of LDC strapline, we describe ourselves as a community of ambitious organisations learning and improving together. And I'm really quite happy with that. We were at Nissan last week, one of our other partners. We had 20 people in the room. And in fact, I can't think of a better environment in which to deliver those ambitions, really.
Yeah,
because that was a group of different organisations learning and improving together. A great day in Nissan, and people seem to enjoy those experiences. Really,
I think collaboration is key, isn't it? Where you can bring people together through events, where you do a lot of shared learning. You always find in different businesses, there's always different facets of things that you can kind of learn and then bring over to other companies, because a lot of your learning events are kind of run as live workshops, aren't they?
They are, yes, indeed. I'd like to think with that in mind that our model, our approach genuinely goes beyond just a networking model.
Yeah.
That there is true collaboration. People are sharing resources, sharing best practice, and we're pulling people together. That's the kind of vision of things, really.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds good.
And, you know, with that in mind, since January the 1st, we've had three new organisations who have become members, large organisations. So that's kind of reinforcement that people seem to like what we do. And those three organisations have all been through referrals.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Yes, where you get a lot, we get a lot of really good business actually through referral business, and you know where if you've delivered a particular video campaign for someone, they see what you've done, they want a similar sort of thing. You kind of tend to find that, you know, when you have those case studies and those referral opportunities, you know, especially with clients you work with a long time, there's always, again, back to collaboration, isn't it? Something you learn on one project, you can bring to another.
Yeah, and it's essentially about building trust and about building credibility. I sometimes get confused. You know, you're probably the same. You'll get approached by a kind of sales organization, who seem to think, you know, they can give you a better model of generating business than the one you've already got. And I'm never rude to people. I never would be. But I think, okay, the referral thing seems to work for both of our organisations.
Yeah.
And that's because of, you know, hopefully the excellent work that we do.
Yeah, no, that's it. So in terms of, I guess, are you seeing more of a trend for companies wanting to learn and upskill? Because we're finding it in I guess in the kinds of content that we're creating at the moment, we're producing an awful lot of, you know, either how-to type content or health and safety content where, that you know, there is stuff around learning-based things, you know, professional development, upskilling. It tends to be a bit of a upwards trend at the moment where people are, you know, wanting to do some of their own stuff, personalized content. There's a lot of that sort of stuff going around at the moment. Are you finding that within your business as well?
I think we're finding all of those dimensions, really.
Yeah.
I guess if you want to attract and retain talent,
yeah,
then what's on offer in terms of learning and development is going to play an important part for people. But running alongside that, you know, you've already mentioned it, that personalized approach, yeah, to learning and development. We're seeing more of that. We're trying to respond to those demands. I'm sensing that the days of the generic corporate training courses,
yeah,
are not disappearing as such, but they're only one part of the jigsaw.
Mm.
I think it's about that agile approach to learning, yeah. I guess, being able to access things quickly.
Yeah.
You know, I was saying to somebody the other day, you know, that they were looking to their own organization for something on time management, and the response they got was, yes, we can help with that, but we're not running that course until another 6 months.
Right. Okay. And not very timely then.
Yeah, not very timely. Absolutely. But as an example, you know, to people wanting to move quickly and have access to resources. So this thought of individuals designing their own development plans,
yeah,
seems to be the way forward. Yeah.
And I think the personalization as well within the company and some of the corporate company culture, because that's something we're finding as well, whereas, you know, a company might come in and they've maybe had a piece of learning content in a video format that has been off the shelf, and that's helped them to a point, but actually what they're finding is over time, people are disengaging with the content. They're not engaged with it. They're not learning by it. And then obviously that leads on to a trajectory of a whole load of other issues. So they're coming in looking for stuff that is more personalized, more bespoke, and kind of speaks their language and looks like their culture, I think, is kind of key.
Yeah, and I guess in bite-sized chunks as well.
Yeah.
Because people have busy lives, all the challenges that we face day to day, yeah? Whereas I guess if somebody's engaged, I don't know, in a piece of material, say for 20 minutes,
yeah,
but they're truly engaged, and that makes them want to take it further, I guess that's better than being in a workshop for a day and listening to 100 PowerPoint slides.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's
kind of thing.
There's a lot of still death by PowerPoint around, isn't there? And I think the bite-sized thing, I think you picked up on there, is really crucial. And again, that's something that we're finding is a common thread, whether you've got a day's workshop condensed into smaller chunks, or you've got a 20-minute health and safety induction that is now, let's put it into topics that are 2 or 3 minutes each, so we can give someone a topic and then we can make it interactive after, so we can have a conversation with them, we can ask them some questions, there's a bit of back and forward. Mm. Tends to work quite well.
And all that leads, I think, to then people wanting more of that.
Yeah.
Because it's worth for them, it's effective.
Yeah.
And so they want to carry on investing in their own development. And I guess it's this whole thing about the organisation should set the right climate, I think, for learning and development from a cultural point of view. But ultimately, our futures lie with us as individuals.
Yeah, it's true.
It's being proactive and it's making things happen, really.
Yeah.
And I think people in the workplace are surrounded by learning opportunities,
yeah,
which are very real.
It's tapping into it, isn't it? It's kind of making a plan for your own professional development, because I'm always sort of trying to look for things. Like every year it's either, you know, try and do an event. I'm going to see Stephen Bartlett talk at the end of this month, which I'm excited about. Obviously he's, you know, a serial entrepreneur, he's got his podcast, he talks a lot of sense. Love him or hate him, people have kind of mixed reviews actually on him, but I think there's a lot of really good stuff that comes out of that. So I think, you know, if you can kind of surround yourself with people, you can tap into other resources. I mean, where do you go typically for some of your kind of learning based content, whether it's personal stuff or business stuff? Where do you tend to sort of, what draws your attention in? What do you like looking at?
On a professional basis, I've always followed the London School of Economics.
Right, okay.
My degree was in economics.
Oh, was it?
Many years ago. So they really helped me.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're offering things all the time online.
Yeah.
I've been to London to be directly part of the workshops over recent years.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of the thought leadership, London School of Economics, I guess, are up there with the best. I mean, an example of that, as I've always followed a guy called Professor Paul Dolan.
Okay.
Who, psychologist, but he's a kind of guru around the concept of happiness. And he's great.
Yeah.
He's a character.
Yeah, that's always good.
You know, lively, he's energetic. Yeah. Maybe controversial on occasions.
But you need that as well, don't you?
Yeah. So, you know, so do a lot of London School of Economics. Likewise, one of our partners, Durham University Business School. So I get invited to some of their events from time to time. So that's what kind of hopefully keeps me ahead of the game.
Yeah. And I think being ahead of the game is an important thing. There's just sort of finishing off Stephen Barlow's book prior to this event, and he talks about leaning in. That's one of his kind of mantras, I guess, in his diary of a CEO of these sort of tips he's put together. It is leaning in, and it is sort of staying ahead of the curve in terms of what's coming, because you kind of got to roll with stuff, really, because if you don't, and you don't lean in, certainly to like new technology and new themes that are coming out, then obviously, you know, the world is going to continue and you're going to get left behind.
Well, if we're going to help our client base, then we just need to be one step ahead.
Yeah.
And that takes an investment of time. And often we say in the LDC, if you're not in the room, you'll never know.
That's it.
You know, if you don't invest a day at Nissan or wherever it's going to be, then you won't know what you've missed. So if anything, you know, last week was anything to go by in terms of an event, people came over with lots and lots of ideas.
Yeah.
You know, from an LDC point of view, I'm bound to say this, we're always trying to make sure, though, that it's great having those ideas, but we try to create that support infrastructure where those conversations carry on after the event.
Yeah.
Yeah, because otherwise, ultimately, it's great being at the events for you and I, unless we do something tangible with those things.
Yeah.
Then ultimately not good use of our time, you with me. So we just, in terms of implementing ideas from those best benchmarking events, we're just saying don't leave it to chance.
Yeah.
That's all.
And it's having probably a structure around it, isn't it, in terms of outcomes? So you know, you plan these events, you go, what is it that you want to come away from? And then what is going to be your implementation plan after?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, you know, it's like with anything, isn't it? If you set a goal for the new year, you're like, right, I'm going to do this. So then how is that then going to be implemented and delivered throughout the year?
And so with that in mind, so I suppose just quickly, if you take our best practice groups, you know, we've got the five areas. So people go on four best practice visits per year. But every time that group turns up for the next best practice event, there's an expectation that they will share their progress since the last event.
Okay.
So there's some peer pressure.
We've got to report back.
In a supportive way. It's not really a competition. But at the same time, I wouldn't want to turn up unless I had a story to tell.
Yeah.
Hopefully that does bring some discipline to it.
Yeah. No, I think that's good. Continue with the learning theme. Is there anything, because obviously you talked about events and the London School of Economics, is there anything you've watched recently, be it film, documentary, series, where you've sort of, I don't know, profoundly learned something or just enjoyed learning something new that maybe you thought, oh, that's worth looking into?
It was back to the London School of Economics, really.
Yeah.
Forgive me, I forget the individual's name, and he's written a book around it. And essentially the message was about things that are successful do take a long time.
Mm.
And you have to build some strong foundations.
Yeah.
With me.
Yeah.
Apologies, on another day, I'll remind myself of what the book was. But it was very powerful. And there was a story he'd been part of. And I think it was in Colombia, where people were living in a very challenging environment, violence, etc., etc. And this local community just fought back against those things, and it started to make a real difference. But his message was that didn't happen overnight, obviously.
Yeah.
So I suppose it's that thing about sustainability. Yeah. Things of real value do take time. Yeah. So not necessarily remembering the person's name, I should do, but that was
but the powerful. Values from it.
The values from it. And I guess you and I would share those values for our own organization.
Absolutely. I think it dials into the whole theme, I guess, I'm looking at this year, which obviously started at the beginning of the year, January, because, you know, you set your intentions, don't you, for the start of the year.
Yeah.
It's consistency. So it's about, you know, doing the same things, the right things. Obviously, if it's not the right thing, then you've got to adapt and change it. But it's kind of little and often, and it all leads into... There was a book that I read a number of years ago called The Compound Effect. I think it's by Darren Hardy. I'll have to fact check that. I'm not 100%.
Sure.
It's and that whole trajectory talks about doing small things, little and often. And it's almost improving yourself just by a penny's worth every single day. And that compounds over time, which then ultimately, you know, you get further down the line, and that's where you sort of start to see the result.
Yeah, I suppose that's we work with that sort of marginal gains approach in terms of continuous improvement. You take on too much, the chances are you might not achieve it.
That's it.
You know, and I think employees look for those sustainable small improvements. That's where they feel their organization is authentic rather than big campaigns that don't often reach their potential.
Yeah.
But I guess the other challenge is I was thinking also in January about not being tempted to do too many different things.
Yes.
You know, so from an LDC point of view, the offering is very simple, very clear, very effective, and not being tempted by enthusiasm to try other things, really, which I'm guilty of on many occasions.
Well, I think we all do it, don't we? We always take on too much.
Yeah, we do, because we want to help others, and that's great, isn't it? But better to do one or two things well than half a dozen things badly, I think.
Yeah.
Is partly the message.
I think if you can keep it simple and you make it as easy as possible to do, to be able to enable yourself, whatever it is to do, then that's where you ultimately kind of get the consistency side. And that's where then ultimately it leads to results further down the line.
Yeah. And then all of that becomes a cultural dimension of whatever organization it is. And that's where I think people then want to engage, really.
Yeah.
So,
that's good.
So increasingly this year, we just, you know, part of our efforts will be around what we call building an intentional culture.
Yeah.
And not leaving it to chance, paying attention to those things, really. And that's a big part of what we're trying to achieve.
Yeah. Well, it sounds good. Well, we always, I go off on a side tangent, we always like to ask our clients about films, because naturally, you know, we're not in the movies, we're in the business movies industry. But obviously a lot of films in here, but have you got a favourite film? Is there anything that comes to mind that you've watched that you've gone, wow, that, you know, I absolutely love that film and I could watch it over and over and over again?
Yeah. I suppose yes is the answer. And it's not related to learning, but the film The Joker.
Oh, okay.
Was just, for me,
that's on here somewhere.
Fantastic, and I could watch it every week.
Yeah.
My wife won't let me do that. But I think in terms of the quality of the acting and it was great.
So what was it specifically about that film that sort of stuck with you?
I guess quite scary. You know, with the quality of the actor, I can see him there.
Yeah, the screen's up, that's there. It. I'm looking he's for there. It back here.
He's there.
Yeah, he's upon there.
It was very sinister. It was, on occasions, I think, extremely violent.
Yeah.
But just as a piece of movie making, I guess, I just thought it was great.
Yeah. Oh, I would agree with you. I was blown away by that film, and obviously the second one is on the horizon, isn't it?
Oh, I didn't know.
Joker 2. I've seen stuff in production for a while now, so I don't know exactly when it's coming out.
Okay.
Again, we'll have to fact check that, but it will be this year, I think. It will be released this year at some point.
Right.
Honestly, Lady Gaga's in that one. Have you seen any of her stuff?
I haven't actually, no. Can't say how, no.
There's a Star is Born, so up on the poster behind you there.
Right.
Kind of one of her acting debuts. Very, very good. So anything that she's in is generally good. She's great in her music. It's carrying over into the film world.
I'm smiling because the other extreme for me, and I'm giving away my age.
Go on then.
Is the film Zulu.
Zulu.
So,
I know it.
Stanley Baker, Michael Caine. Michael Caine's first film, I think, really.
Is it?
And so my family constantly just get fed up with me saying, can I watch Zulu tonight? No, you can't, Dad.
What genre does that fall into?
Well, it was based on the, 1845, I think? So obviously the British Army fighting the Zulu warriors and the massacres that took place. So it was a particularly small group. I forget, maybe it was the Welsh Guards or something.
Okay.
Forgive me if that's incorrect. Small sort of fortress. Thousands and thousands of Zulus who tried to kill them, and in the end it didn't happen and they managed to survive. And at the end of the film, the Zulu warriors come over the hill and the soldiers think they're going to attack again.
Right.
And they go away because they're respected so much, the soldiers. It was great, but
Back in the day before all the CGIs, they needed a million extras or something for that film.
You weren't born then, I don't think. I'm sure. Well,
when did it come out?
Ah, it's a good question. So, I don't know, 1962 maybe?
Right.
Yeah.
That's 86.
Just, that's just a personal thing of which my family are not impressed with.
No.
So whenever they go out, I say, can you put Zulu on for me?
This is it.
And they do.
What was your favourite genre of film? Is there a particular genre that you gravitate towards?
I don't think so. No. You've asked me the question. I don't think there is.
No.
I just anything. Yeah. And anything that just captures the imagination, and I guess a bit of history to it.
Yeah. Well, that's nice. Yeah, a bit of history.
Bit of history to it. Yeah. So but the Joker. Yeah, truly excellent.
Yeah, it is great. I think for me, it's anything really ultimately that has a really good story behind it and good characters and something quite gritty that you can get into. So I quite like a lot of thrillers, you know, where you've got, you know, just an unfolding plot or the story gets a little bit complicated and, you know, anything like that where you sort of, what's going on? I quite like those films where you've got to try and work it out as you go, and then the penny drops,
and then there's a twist to it.
And then there's a few twists and turns, and then it ends abruptly. I quite like those ones.
And not always in a way that you predicted. So we watch some Netflix stuff from time to time that there's some good material on there.
There is. There's an awful lot now across, you know, whether it's you want the series, short series, long series, you know, films. There's a lot, you know, world cinema. There's so much content now that you can kind of access wherever you go. It's very much
some real choice there, isn't there?
It's very much there.
Yeah. No. Good. Good.
But now I think it's been a good chat today. Obviously, we've covered a lot in terms of kind of learning and talking about content, and you know, maybe we can think a little bit more after this podcast and look at maybe where some of our best learning resources are, so we can sign people. Sort of signpost people to that could be quite good to send those out as links as well, possibly.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't talk about this earlier in our earlier discussion this afternoon, but just we got this thought about maybe getting a group together, people who have to design and deliver learning experiences.
Okay.
And just working with them as a group.
Yeah.
To say, what does that great learning experience look like? What are some of the ingredients? I'm sure that's something we could work on together.
Yeah, sounds like a plan.
Yeah, good.
Great. All right. Well, thanks for coming in.
No, enjoyed it as always.
Yeah, really appreciate it.
Good partnership. Good discussions today about the next 12 months for our two organisations, and look forward to working together as always.
Yeah, sounds great. There's a lot of collaboration ahead. So, thank you to our audience and listeners. Thanks for tuning in to Lights, Camera, Conversation, and come and check us out next time for some more content. Take care.
Good. Thanks, everybody.